I mentioned this to somebody the other day. I would like us, again this year, we haven't done it in a couple of years. I can't remember when we did it last. I'd like to give a gift to the police department here in Seneca Falls.
Amen.
We did the gift card a couple years ago. We have the mugs back there, the church mugs. I'd like to give each of the employees, officers and the employees, a mug from our church. Every time they drink coffee, they see the name of our church.
Amen.
And in that mug, I want to put a gift card from Dunkin' Donuts.
Amen.
And the gospel tract. And give it to them as a gift for the holidays.
Amen.
So hopefully the church is behind that.
Amen.
Do like a $15 gift card, and each of them, there's 20 employees there at the police department. I stopped the other day to ask how many, and there's 20. So a little bit of money, but it shows that we appreciate that.
Yeah.
And it shows that that we as a church appreciate what they do, put their lives on the line every day for us.
Yeah.
Like I said, when they came the other day, we were very appreciative. They were very good to our kids. They brought in stickers and coloring books and took the kids out and gave them a tour of the car and turned the lights on and siren. I don't know if any of the kids sat in the car, but they were very good. One of the police officers, brand new, just out of the academy, and he was being trained by one of the other guys. He's been here for a couple of years. But they were just very very good to us the other day, and so appreciate that. And we appreciate them, and we told them that the other day. But I want to do something special for them again. We
Amen.
Ought to do something every year for them.
Amen.
We really ought to do that. And one of these days, I'd like to have a first responders special service
Amen.
Where we invite everybody to church. Mm-hmm. All the first responders, police, fire, ambulance, all of them. Try to get them to come to church
Amen.
And do something special for them and just show them that we appreciate them. And have a special service for them. So we'll work on that. I've got to get some ideas for that, and we'll see what happens. All right? Luke chapter 17, we're talking about giving thanks, and I was going to do something else tonight, but I worked on this afternoon. And every time I think about giving thanks, I think about these 10 lepers. And how only one of them came back and gave thanks. Out of 10, one. The other nine just went off, and as far as we know, they never said a word to the Lord after that. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Let me read these verses, starting in verse 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. That's worshiping, by the way.
Amen.
He brings glory to God. He worships him. And then thirdly, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? What an amazing question. I kind of think that Jesus was expecting all of them to come back.
Yeah.
But only one out of the 10 came back. He asked, where's the 9? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Not only did the Samaritan get physically healed, he got spiritually healed. The other 9 got the physical healing. They never got the spiritual healing. They may have gotten a temporary healing from leprosy, but they never got the eternal healing that they really needed for eternal life.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, again for those that come out. I'm always thankful, Lord, for this church and for the people of this church. Lord, we're thankful tonight for the Word of God. We're thankful, Lord, that you can cleanse and heal people like lepers as you did. Here in this passage of Scripture. Lord, we need to be more thankful for what you have done for us. So, Lord, I pray tonight, again, as we are approaching the holiday of Thanksgiving, I pray that we as Christians would be thankful every day for what you do for us and how you take care of us spiritually. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight and bless us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Why did only one cleansed leper return to thank the Lord Jesus Christ and not the other nine. Well, somebody suggested that these nine reasons why the other nine didn't come back, and I don't know, this is just somebody suggested it, I liked it, and I wrote them down. One way to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said that he would see Jesus later, but as far as we know, he never came back. One decided that he had never been or never had leprosy. One said that he had gotten well anyway. One gave the glory to the priests. One said, oh well, Jesus didn't really do anything. One said, any rabbi could have done it. And then the ninth one said, I was already much improved. I was feeling better. But you know, these nine remind us of so many today. So many today are so ungrateful and unthankful. It reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll look at 2 Timothy 3, a few of these verses quickly. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. There's the problem right there. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You see that right in the midst of all of that? Unthankful?
Yeah.
Unthankful. That's part of the signs of the last day. People are going to be unthankful. They're going to be just lovers of their own selves, and when you love yourself so much, you don't think about being grateful and thankful. I don't know about you ladies. I don't know if you've ever read anything by Irma Bombeck. I don't know if she's even still alive, but listen to what she said. Is she still alive or no?
No?
Sorry to hear that. She said this in an article that she wrote in 1992. She said, an estimated 1.5 million people are living today after bouts with breast cancer. Every time I forget to feel grateful to be among them, I hear the voice of an 8-year-old named Christina, who had cancer of the nervous system. When asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought a long, hard time, and then she finally said, I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything.
Amen.
I have everything. Couldn't we have that kind of an attitude?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need a Cabbage Patch now. I don't have a sticker book, but, you know, that was her attitude. She thought she had everything that she needed. I like what somebody said, I have what I want, and I want what I have. I have what I want, and I want what I have. Let that sink in and think about that. It just means you're satisfied with what you have. Forbes magazine a few years ago came up with this study about being grateful. The article starts by this. It's that time of year when many begin to think about everything that they have to be thankful for. Although it's nice to count your blessings on Thanksgiving, being thankful throughout the year could have tremendous benefits on your quality of life, the article says.
Amen.
In fact, gratitude may be one of the most overlooked tools that we all have access to every single day. Cultivating gratitude doesn't cost any money, and it certainly doesn't take much time, but the benefits are enormous. Research reveals gratitude can have these 7 different benefits. I'm going to name these benefits to you. Number 1, gratitude opens the door to more relationships. By saying thank you to strangers, opening a door for someone, or sending a note of thanks to someone. Number 2, gratitude improves physical health. Thankful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people. Number 3, gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, ranging from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Robert Emmons, a PhD, a leading gratitude researcher, I always thought about it, he's a researcher in gratitude, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and decreases depression. So if you struggle with depression, why don't you start being more thankful? Be grateful for what you have. Just have that attitude of gratitude or that attitude of thankfulness. Number four, gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. There is more sensitivity and empathy, that means understanding, towards other people, and a decreased desire to seek revenge. Number five, grateful people sleep better. Not sitting there worrying and wondering about everything. Number six, gratitude improves confidence. Grateful people can appreciate other people's accomplishments more.
Right.
And number seven, gratitude increases mental strength. For years, research has shown gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a role, major role in overcoming trauma. A 2006 study published in Behavior Research and Therapy found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of PTSD. Isn't that something? So why don't we just be more grateful, thankful, and stop worrying about everything and being so discouraged and despondent on all kinds of things in our life. Well, let's get to our text and look at three quick things here tonight about this passage of Scripture that we looked at. Number one, we see their condition. These lepers, we're talking about the lepers here in Luke chapter 17. Their condition, obviously, they were lepers. We don't have time tonight to go back into the Old Testament. But you go back and read Leviticus 13 and 14, and you'll see all the things that, under the law, what a leper, how a priest was to diagnose leprosy, and then what the leper was supposed to do or not supposed to do. We see that they were lepers. Obviously, the Bible says that they were lepers there in verse 12 when Jesus entered that village. Outside of the village, I guess, the law stated that somebody that had leprosy had to stay at least 100 paces away from everybody else. Now, they could be when they're in their own group, and that's what lepers did. They would congregate in their own group, but they had to stay away from people that didn't have leprosy. They had to cover their face mask, right? According to Leviticus chapter 13, they had to cover their face, and they had to cry out unclean anytime they were out and about, and there was any people around or coming their way, they would have to do that. So face masks have been around a long time. It also says there in that verse that they were afar off. Mm-hmm. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Ephesians 2:13. They had to stay afar off, but look what the Bible says here of Paul as he's writing to the church of Ephesus. He says in Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ."
Amen.
All of us, at one time in our life, we were afar off. We were far away from God. We were separated. There was a tremendous chasm between God and myself. But when I trusted Christ as my Savior, that chasm closed. And now I've become close to Jesus Christ. I can have fellowship with Him. You can also. But these individuals, these lepers, were afar off. They were outside. They had to stand afar off. In verse 12, back to our text in Luke chapter 17. Also, we see that they were without hope. They had leprosy. Leprosy, at that time, as far as I know, it was an incurable disease. If you had leprosy, you probably were going to die from it. Could have been a long-term process, almost like a cancer, but they were pretty much going to die from it. And so when you think about that, now today we've got all kinds of medical technology and things are amazing today, of what they can do. But we see here that back in those days, they were pretty much doomed to die with this awful, awful disease. Mm-hmm. You know, I've said it before, you probably know it, but literally the extremities of a body would just rot off. The nose would rot off. The fingers would rot off. Toes would rot off. I mean, it was a horrible disease. I can't imagine the pain that people went through with this horrible thing, this disease that they had. And so they pretty much were without hope until Jesus came by. Go back to Romans. Go over to Romans, I should say. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Donna, you're in the medical field. Do you know of anybody that has leprosy?
No.
Have you ever met a leper?
Mm-hmm.
No. Brother Victor, they actually have a leper colony over in India that they minister to lepers.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Amen.
Romans 8, verses 24 and 25, the Bible says this. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We have a hope today that is beyond comprehension. I don't know about you, but I have a tremendous hope in God, a tremendous hope in Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 1. Titus 1, Titus 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Isn't that good? God can't lie. God is a tremendous God. He is a good God. We talked about that this morning. We don't need to go back over that again tonight, but we serve a great and wonderful God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, it says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. That's what we're looking for as Christians. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Kathy and I was talking the other day about maybe we ought to buy our cemetery plots and get them, you know, ordered and put over there at Kingdom Road Cemetery. Buck, we all know our family's over there. And Kathy says, no, we're going in the rapture. Okay. Hey, I'm all for that. Who wants to spend the several hundred dollars per plot anyway, right? If we don't need it. And then Joanna was standing right next to us. And she says, hey, that won't be your problem anyway if you die. That'll be her problem.
Yeah.
And his problem. And Sarah's problem, and TJ's problem, and Elizabeth's problem, all of our kids, that'll be their problem, maybe even your problem. We're going in the back? Yeah, just put us in a heavy, heavy bag, that's all. But we have an amazing hope. I'm looking for the blessed hope. I am. We all are, right? We all want to go in the rapture. But if we don't make the rapture and we die, we still are going to win. For the Christian, death is just a graduation service to get into heaven. That's all. It's just a gateway. It's a doorway to go into heaven. That's all it is. That's what death is. Praise God for it. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So these lepers back in Luke chapter 17, they had no hope because of their disease, because of the leprosy that they had. And so that was their condition. Number two, we see their cure. Their cure was very simple. They cried to Jesus Christ. They cried out. You see that? in verse 13 of Luke 17, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us."
Amen.
And what did Jesus do? He had mercy on them.
Amen.
He showed his mercy by saying, and responding to them, and when he saw them, and I'm often, I think about that, when he saw them, many places in the Gospels, he would, when he saw the multitudes, he was what? Moved with compassion. I can guarantee you he had compassion on these 10 men.
Yeah.
All of them. And so they cried to Jesus, "Master, have mercy." They were told to go and show themselves to the priest. That was still an Old Testament practice. And so the Lord was telling them what to do. And they all went. But only one returned to thank the Lord. Only one came back. Out of all 10, only one. That always amazed me that the other 9 just kept on going. Showed no appreciation, no thankfulness to the Lord who healed them. They just left. But the one came back. He returned to glorify God. He returned to worship God. And he returned to give thanks unto God. The only one. And then thirdly and finally tonight, Jesus is concerned.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
His concern.
Thank the Lord.
He allows them to go and get cleaned physically. In verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Fell down on his face at his feet. That just simply says that he was worshiping Jesus Christ. He knew exactly who the Lord was. He had no question in his heart that Jesus Christ was God. To come back and glorify Him, come back, the Bible says he glorified God with a loud voice, and he fell down at his feet, so he knew that Jesus Christ was to be worshipped, and he gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed?
Yeah.
Where are the 9? I can almost imagine that the heart of Jesus was broken right about that.
Come on.
He heals 10 men and only one comes back.
Yeah.
You know, if you did something good for somebody, and I'm not saying we should look for a pat on the back or anything, but how often today do we do things for people and sometimes we get very little thanks?
Yeah, that's right.
What does that do to you?
Uh-huh.
And here, the things that we have aren't even in comparison to what the Lord
right.
did. I mean, he healed these men that had no hope. There was no cure. He healed them, and only one comes back and gives God glory and gives God thanks. And so the concern of the Lord was simply, where are the 9? And unfortunately, they're like many people today.
Mm-hmm.
Many people today will get what they want from God, and then they desert him. And leave them. They may get salvation. They may get forgiveness of sins. They might get... Some people bargain with God. Yeah. God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you.
Mm.
And sometimes when God answers that prayer, they'll start off, maybe, doing something for God. But so often, they just kind of forget about it and drop off.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how God's heart is today when he does so much for people and gets so little thanks.
Come on.
Even with Bible believers today.
Yeah, right.
He's done so much for us spiritually.
Amen.
And yet, how often do we really thank him? Mm-hmm. Really thank him
mm-hmm.
for saving us? How often do we really thank him for forgiving us of our sins?
Amen.
How often do we really thank him for all the good things that he does for us? Listen, things are going to break. You're going to get sick. Probably. Good people get sick.
Yeah.
Good people get cancer and die.
Right.
I mean, bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good Christian, sold out Christian people.
Right.
It's part of life. We really can't avoid that. It's sad on our part when we see it and we know it. And when it happens to you, you might feel bad about it. But with God, God makes no mistakes. God is good no matter what it is we go through in life. God is still good. Even if you're sick every day of your life, for the rest of your life, God is still a good and wonderful God. People, though today they seem to be, again, and it's part of the end days, I know, but we don't have to be that way.
Right.
We Christians have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
We have so much. I mean, some Thanksgiving last year, I think it was, I said, let's make a list, and we made a list of all the things, you know, we talk about it, and we had a bunch of stuff we wrote down, I still have it in my Bible, all the things that we're thankful for. It's good for us to pull out that list and look at it periodically. It's good to pull out the list and add to the list. Because you can't think of everything right at once. But it's good for us to do that. Just because you got saved doesn't mean you abandon God. Just because you got saved doesn't mean you abandon church. And close up the book and not read the Bible anymore. Just because something like this happens and or you get exactly what you want from God doesn't mean that you just leave God. He never leaves us.
Amen.
I believe there's a verse in Hebrews that said He will never leave us nor forsake us.
That's right.
But I've heard of people making deals with God. And then they renege on their promises.
Oh, yeah.
They got what they wanted. But they really lost what they had.
Yeah. That's good.
I brought a message on that many years ago. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had.
That's good.
Or had. People today don't want too much of God. They just want enough to get to heaven.
Yeah.
They want to get their fire insurance.
Yeah.
They don't want to go to hell, and so they get saved, but they still want to go off and live their life the way they want to live their life. They just don't want too much of God. I've heard people say that. People have told me that. I just don't want too much of God. I don't want too much church. You people down there, you're what are we?
Fanatic.
We're what?
Sick
Baptist.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Roberta's learning. She said, you're sick Baptist. And I say, praise the Lord. She's laughing right now. I don't mean to embarrass her. But we are. We're sick Baptists. We're crazy. We're crazy people.
Yeah.
To come to church Sunday morning for two services in the morning, Sunday school and the morning message, and then crazy enough to come back Sunday night, even when it's cold and wintry out, or it's so hot and humid out, we're crazy. We're sick. In a good way. And then some of us show back up on a Wednesday night again. We are really sick. And then sometimes we show up for other special meetings.
Sick.
Just sick. But in a really good way. I really don't think you can get too much of God. But there are people that think you just get too much of God. I just want enough so I can go to heaven. No more. No more than that. I don't think that's real Christianity.
Amen.
You can get saved. Listen, God makes it simple and easy to trust Him and get saved. But Christianity really starts. Your Christian life starts when you get saved.
Yeah.
If God was all done with you, the moment you trusted Christ, He'd zap you to heaven. He'd just beam you up. But He didn't do that. Now, I've talked with some people on their deathbed, and they've gotten saved, and within 12 hours, they're gone. They're done. They're dead. I witnessed to a man in a hospital one time that did that. Praise God, I believe he got saved. He couldn't talk until I started to give him the plan of salvation. And boy, he opened up and was talking.
Yeah.
And he was praying. And he's asking the Lord to save him.
Amen.
The people around him were astonished because he hadn't talked. He hadn't said anything. He wasn't able to talk. But boy, I'll tell you what. When he opened up his heart,
yeah.
God also opened up his mouth.
Amen. That's Bible.
And that night he died. And I'm grateful that he's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you about a guy named Frank that worked for me at Crucible. He got stomach cancer, and I went and talked to him and led him to the Lord in the hospital. In 6 weeks, he was gone. In 6 weeks, I was attending his funeral. Other people, you have stories probably like that too.
Sure.
But it's sad today that people just don't want too much of God.
Mm.
Coming to church once a week is plenty enough for me, people say. And listen, we love the Sunday morning Christians, don't we?
Amen.
We love the Sunday morning Christians. We love the Sunday morning and the Sunday night Christians. Some people only come to the Sunday, they don't come Wednesday night. And we love the Wednesday night crowd. We love them all. And I'm thankful and grateful for the Sunday morning crowd.
Yeah.
I am. You got to be thankful and grateful for the Sunday morning crowd. It's nice when the place is completely full on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to have it completely full Sunday night. This whole section right here, except for Phil.
Yeah.
Hold on, right there. The whole section. Empty, except for Phil.
Faithful Phil.
Faithful Phil.
Right.
FF.
Amen.
Faithful Phil.
Phil starts with a P.
Yeah.
That kind of thought you're putting a whole lot faster.
That's all right.
But these nine remind me of a lot of people today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I hope you don't fall into the category of the nine. I hope you fall into the category of the Samaritan. The Samaritan was an outcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't have time to do a study on the Samaritan, but I'm telling you, they were not liked by Jews at all. The woman at the well in John 4 was astonished that Jesus would even talk with her.
Amen. Amen.
Because Jews and Samaritans didn't even talk.
Yeah, that's right.
But this man was so grateful, he came back and he fell at the feet of Jesus Christ. He's worshiping him. He's thanking him for healing him physically. And then Jesus says these amazing words in verse 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Praise the Lord.
This man came back and showed Jesus Christ his faith.
Yeah.
He didn't just lip it. Some Christians give a really good lip service to the things of God. This man didn't do that. He came back. As he was just showing his appreciation to the Lord for what he did, the Lord said, you're saved. Your faith has made thee whole. You're not only whole physically, but you're whole spiritually.
Yeah, Lord.
And what a blessing that is.
Amen.
The Samaritan getting saved. A lot of Samaritans doing some amazing things in the Bible. Good thing to do a study on just the Samaritans that approach Jesus Christ or the Samaritans that Jesus approaches. See, the Lord is not he went to the lost sheep of Israel first. And Jesus himself was a Jew. But he was willing to save anybody that wanted to be saved.
Right.
And that's the way it is today. Any human being can be saved. Anybody. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what nationality you are. Doesn't matter anything at all. If people want to be saved, they can be saved. The Lord will save anybody. It doesn't matter how many sins they have attached to their name. He will save their soul. If Hitler wanted to be saved, the Lord would have saved them. Some people would disagree with that, but if Hitler... Before he either killed himself or was killed, I think he was killed, But if he had prayed and asked the Lord to forgive him of his sins and trust Jesus Christ and he truly got saved, the Lord would have saved him.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the Lord is no respecter of persons.
That's right.
As we approach Thanksgiving, let's take a look at this Samaritan. And let's realize that we need to do the same thing. We need to be thankful to the Lord for all the spiritual things that He's done for us.
Amen.
Stop looking at just the physical. Stop looking at just the material. We do that a lot. I know. We all do that. I do that. You do that.
That's right, man.
We look at the physical. We look at the material. We look at the things happening around us. And we say sometimes God doesn't care. We get a horrible diagnosis physically and we say God doesn't care. Our car breaks down. This happens. Whatever we say, we think that God doesn't care. God always cares.
Amen.
Because God is always good.
Yeah.
He always cares for us. But things are going to happen in our life.
That's right.
Stop thinking that bad things can't happen to you.
Amen.
Or me. Because things do happen. But let's just have an attitude of gratitude. Let's fall down at His feet. Fell down on His face, at His feet, giving Him thanks.
Amen.
He was a Samaritan. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We'll look at three verses and then we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks to His name. And then Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When you pray, do you thank God when you pray? You start your prayer with just thankfulness. I do. That's the way I start my prayer. I thank Him for so many things. I'm just thankful that He was so willing to save my soul. I'm just so thankful that He was willing to go to the cross, be nailed to a cross, suffer and be nailed to a cross for me. I'm just so thankful for that, that He was willing to do that for me. We need to approach God in the same way the Samaritan approached the Lord that day. With an attitude of thanksgiving.
Amen.
Just be thankful. Don't wait till Thursday. Be thankful now. Amen. Father, thank You again for the blessings. Thank You, Lord, for the passage of Scripture that we looked at tonight. The verses that we looked at. I pray, Lord, that we as Christians would be more thankful. Lord, I hope and pray in this room or anybody listening tonight online is not like the nine that just walked away and didn't come back and thank You for anything. Lord, I pray that we would be like that Samaritan. That we would come back and bring glory to Your name, fall at Your feet and worship You and thank You for what You've done for us. Not just physically, but spiritually. We need to be thankful. So Lord, help us with that. I pray that we would see that more in this day and age. I know we're living in a time in which, Lord, we're going to see a lot of people being unthankful. But Lord, I pray that we as Christians would not be that way. Speak to our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. I have a brief invitation. If you're not saved, pray that you would come and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are saved, I pray that you'll leave here tonight after the messages today and just be more grateful, be more thankful.